Nice to have your company on this edition of the Big Sports Breakfast. Brad Davidson, unfortunately, we had to move him, but I'm glad to say that Brad joins us. G'day, mate.
Yeah, g'day, TK. G'day, Logs. How are we?
Jeez, what about Chris Waller? It really is an embarrassment of riches, isn't it?
Yeah, 15 of the 22 nominations for the Colgate Optic White Stakes this Saturday. You don't normally see that, guys. I can't remember the last time a trainer had 15 nominations for a race. So just going through them, the only ones he doesn't have, Lee Romain, It's Somewhat, Sense of Occasion, Ace High, Prized Icon, and Dan and Liberty and Red Excitement, and the rest are from the C. Waller stable. So we'll wait and see how many of those actually do line up. A host of those are nominated for other races as well. So, yeah, we'll see what sort of field, how it takes shape. But all eyes on the Glamour Mare Winks as she adds or bids to add another one to that picket fence.
Kemantari will start in the McIvy Diva on Saturday's favourite.
Yeah, $3.50 favourite at the moment. He opened with Tab yesterday. Interesting to see a couple of moves around him. Good money for Happy Clapper, who's been 8th into 6 already, and also a bit of a firmer with Humidor. And look, no surprise to see some early money for Happy Clapper, probably the $8, a touch of overs there early doors, because I just got to put a pen through his first up run at Caulfield. He didn't seem to get around the track at all, but his last 150 metres was very, very good. And yeah, I wouldn't be sacking him off that, and they wouldn't be surprised if he starts even that touch shorter come Saturday.
Yeah, what about Zuzane? What's happening with Zuzane?
Yeah, I know that he's a horse that you were keen on and I was keen on the weekend, Loz, and he's pulled up with a mildly elevated temperature after Saturday, and he's been treated with antibiotics at this stage. So blood test to be taken on Friday to ascertain whether this horse continues on with a Golden Rose preparation. So he looked a touch disappointing there on the weekend. He probably wasn't suited either with the fact that, you know, we got that rain on Friday. So it meant the track was down to in the heavy range. And, you know, it's never easy for horses returning from spells to be running first up on a heavy eight. So a little bit of an excuse for him there. And he's a horse that trialled really well prior to that. We know what he did in the winter in Queensland. And Chris Waller was sort of suggesting in his video prior to Saturday that he's turned from a boy to a man and that he is the real deal. So maybe a horse that you can put in the forgive file, and we'll wait to see on Friday whether those blood tests come back and whether he'll continue on to the Golden Rose.
Do you keep your powder dry and just take the winner of the Golden Rose as your final selection for the Everest?
I suppose that's the way you can look at it, but I guess it depends a lot of the ways as well what sort of horse it is. I mean, if the Autumn Sun, say, comes out and wins a Golden Rose, well, they've always said they're heading towards a Caulfield Guineas with him, and then even, you know, maybe on a Derby path. I know the owner's really keen to get into a Derby. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. It probably depends what sort of horse wins the Golden Rose and whether they'd be, you know, the sort of the type of horse that can freshen back up to a 1,200-metre race. So, yeah, I mean, there's still a few options there. I think if I was the last lot on, I'd just be keeping my powder dry now, as you said, and waiting and seeing a couple of these other sprint lead-up races, see a few other horses come back. It's still time for something to jump out of the woodwork. But I guess looking at it, you know, early days, a lot of us were saying, well, you know, a lot of these slot owners are going a little bit early, but the way it's worked out is that maybe they haven't, because there hasn't been too much that's sort of jumped out of the ground at this stage. But there's still a few horses there. I know Smart Melody's obviously going down to Melbourne this week, so it's a horse I've always had a lot of time for. Whether it's a bit soon for her, I'm not sure, but yeah, there's still a bit of water to go under the bridge.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, hypothetically, all right, yes. Move forward.
We love your hypotheticals.
Yeah. So Max's team, they pick the horse in a couple of weeks' time and it wins. Next year, does everyone wait?
Well, I'm surprised so many people went off early this year. It's opposite to what I thought, Brad. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, I was the same, TK, I must admit.
I thought people would wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get your three or four, don't you, that are always going to get locked in early, your types like your Red Dells and your Trapeze Artists and those horses. But as I said a while ago, I thought that, you know, there were certain horses that they could have, you know, potentially been picked up later, and you give yourself that chance to see if anything jumps out of the woodwork.
But aren't you giving yourself the best chance if you know it's being set for a particular race?
Yeah, you think so. But look, it's stud.
I know it's different.
There's stud deals done for the colts. There's mare deals done for the mares. You know, like, there's different ways to cook the goose, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah.
And that's it, isn't it? Like, you know,
that's the intriguing thing about the race.
Really, Yeah, and that's probably one thing when I was making those comments earlier that I didn't think about is all these deals behind the closed doors. We don't know what's happening. You know, we don't know whether they're getting a better slice of the prize money or how it works. Yeah. So there's a lot, you know, behind doors that we don't know about that obviously goes into making these deals and getting these horses in the race. And fair play to all the slot owners.
Good on you, Brad. Thanks for that.
Thanks, guys.